Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. When over half of your business is referrals, you're doing something right. My very first clients recommended me to all of their friends and family, and the home loan expert was off and running. The referrals haven't stopped. People love doing their mortgage with us. Just another way we're knocking out the competition. Refinancing or buying a home? Why would you go anywhere else? 314-781-9700 or apply online at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Oh, this is my jam.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is the all-new 590, The Fan. Timothy Michael McKernan, Douglas Sullivan, Vaughn, Jimmy the Cat Hayes with you. Send your emails in. Cardinals Cubs tickets for the email today. Prize the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Very excited to be joined on the Appliance Discounter phone lines this hour by Michael Wilbon of Pardon the Interruption, also ESPN Chicago writer, huge Cubs fan, and a longtime friend of the late, great Brian Burwell. So that is coming your way here on the all-new 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com, and also, of course, 105.7 HD2 FM. And joining us right now, presented by DraftKings, the promo code is QUARTERBACK. You can play in this weekend's free $100,000 contest. No deposit required. It's QUARTERBACK at DraftKings.com. Right now, eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Ladies and gentlemen, from Pardon the Interruption, Michael Wilbon. Morning, Mike.
Morning. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. I would imagine last night was a thrill for you because the Cubs were an inning away from a no-hitter in St. Louis, and the Cardinals hadn't been no-hit in St. Louis in a nine-inning game since 1906. I had no idea about that.
Yeah, I think the only Cubs pitcher to no-hit the Cardinals was Don Cardwell. It was like 56, 57 years ago. So, yeah, I was, you sit there, I had multiple TVs going on. That's a pleasure of mine in the fall on Sunday and Monday, watching football and whatever else. Sunday it was football and tennis and baseball. Last night, football and baseball. And I'm watching, and I get to about the fifth or sixth inning. I don't have the sound up. And I'm watching Hendricks, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, has he given up a hit yet? And it was that long before I realized, even though I had the game on the whole time, and then I sort of got freaked out by it. And the notion of, look, when you lived on the wrong side of that Cubs-Cardinals rivalry for 50 years, as I have, the notion of no hitting the Cardinals in St. Louis in September with the magic number dwindling is intoxicating. And, you know, it was one of the few times, I guess, that disappointment in a Cardinals-Cubs game could still leave me with a smile on my face afterward.
Yeah, because they're getting closer to clinching. The Cards obviously hope it doesn't happen here in St. Louis, which it might. What do you think of the Cardinals? Here in St. Louis, I think folks are hoping for a run, but every time it seems like the Cardinals are heading the right direction, they go the other way. What do you think about the Cardinals?
Well, I'm sort of famously, at least on my show, afraid of the Cardinals for all the obvious historical reasons that a Cub fan would be scared of the Cardinals. It's the one team I don't want to see in the playoffs. I know the Cubs are better. I know they're having a magical season, regular season. I know that they ought to beat the Cardinals this particular postseason. They beat them last year when they won 100 games. But I don't want to see the Cardinals. If there's one team I don't want to see, given, you know, we've seen teams get in. You get into the postseason, and particularly in pro football and Major League Baseball. The number one seed often does not win in Major League Baseball anymore in the format with all these extra postseason teams. And so if you tell me that, you know, I'm going to be certain that, you know, Wainwright can't come into the game one and steal a game on the road for the Cardinals, particularly with all the home run hitting that those guys are doing, I'm not crazy. I've lived on the wrong side of this rivalry. I mean, obviously this has been a disappointing season for the Cardinals, particularly with this home record. I mean, I just don't get that at all. And the injuries have piled up, and, you know, one of those injuries, you know, I got to see live, you know, against the Cubs. And the injuries are just, it was just sort of amazing how many guys were out of the lineup and then back in and out again. So I know it hasn't been the kind of season that you guys have become accustomed to, but anybody's crazy of the National League teams if they say, yeah, I want to see the Cardinals. They're limping around. I'll take them. I mean, that would be professionally just the stupidest thing you could say.
I don't think anybody would want to see the Cubs, though. I mean, you talk about a complete team. They've got the best starting pitching in the league. They've got the most dominant closer.
Yeah.
They play good defense. They hit the ball out of the park. They've got everything going for them this year.
They're the best team. They're the best team in baseball. There's no doubt about that. And the Cubs have had the best team in baseball before. And in the last 108 years. And I don't mean 75 years ago. I mean 2008. The Cubs had the best team in baseball. Got swept by the Dodgers, I think, in the first round. So this is not uncharted territory. Was that 2008 team as good as this? You know, probably not. But I mean, there were guys having great seasons on that team in 2007 and 8, back to back years.
Mm-hmm.
And where you could argue, not even argue, they had the best record in baseball going into the playoffs and just got dumped, swept right out twice. Do I expect that to happen now? No, I don't. And teams can say that has nothing to do with us, but when you're an observer of it, when you're chronicling it or a fan of it, you're not that easily convinced. And that, don't try to convince me as a Chicagoan that there's no thread that is connecting 108 years, because I'm not buying that. Do the players today, these guys as young as they are, do they feel the frustration? Do they feel sabotaged by recent postseason? No, even though they got swept out last year as well by the Mets. No, it's a new time, a new team. They are the best team in baseball. And I you know, look, every logical bone says, you know, the Cubs ought to be in the World Series, but there's been a lot of ought to be's over 108 years.
Michael Wilbon is our guest right now. He's presented by DraftKings, and he joins us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Of course, longtime Cubs fan and co-host of Pardon the Interruption. As a Cubs fan, can you convey what it would mean to you and your hometown for the Cubs to win the World Series?
No, I can't. I don't know what it would mean. You know, my 8-year-old son, who, you know, has, you know, sort of grown up now for the last 5 years, that he's conscious of being a baseball fan and this whole Cub culture, even though we live in Washington, D.C., and you know, full-time. He said to me the other day, he said, Dad, are you going to cry if the Cubs win the World Series? I said, Matthew, I have no idea what my reaction is going to be if the Cubs win the World Series. And I've seen the other teams of my childhood, of my youth, of my life win. Multiple championships in some cases with the Bulls and Blackhawks. But I don't know. My mother, who is 90 years old, is still living in Chicago. And really, I think one of the things that keeps her going is she sits by the television every day. She's lost her sight. And she listens to, watches, whatever, the Cubs every day. Every day, 90 years old. She was in high school the last time they got in the World Series. And so we talk about this stuff when you're a Cub fan, when you're a Chicagoan, and you've lived, in her case, 90 years. I mean, you know, people have come and gone and not seen this happen. So, no, I don't know what it would mean. I mean, you just hope you see it sometime in your life, and you imagine what the reaction will be in the city, and you imagine what it will feel like, but you don't know. How could you?
How devastating was it for you when we go back to 03 and they were as close as they were to going to the World Series?
That was as big a disappointment as I've had in my life as a sports fan. You can go beyond sports fan. These things are, you know, people like to act like, you know, when they get detached from them, well, it's just sports. No. You know, let's face it, in most places, nothing is as important in a civic nature as the sports teams people root for. And the disappointment and the joy are disproportionately impactful. And yeah, that was the worst punch as a Chicagoan that I have ever felt, and I would think most people feel the same. same way, being five outs from getting to the World Series.
You know, you were talking about the importance of baseball, Cubs baseball, in your mom's life, talking about your son asking you about the Cubs and baseball. You always hear that as a sport, baseball is not reaching the younger generation. Do you buy into that? Do you think that baseball, you know, as it is now, could be in trouble in terms of fan support down the road?
Well, it is not reaching people nationally. And I think we know that from ratings and other ways that interest is indicated. But regionally, locally, it's as strong as ever. It's not being consumed in the same way by people at the same age as it was when I was my son's age. And so it's an interesting thing to try to get your arms around what it means. Does it need to be a national sport like pro football is? It's not going to be that in my lifetime again. It just isn't. Does that mean baseball isn't as viable? No, it doesn't. But I sort of keep a close eye on it with the kids that are my son's age. But when I was 8 years old, baseball was all I cared about. It was my first love as a sport. And, you know, it's not that for these kids now, for the kids that I come in contact with. And, I mean, these kids are, you know, of all races and ethnicities and religions, and it doesn't have the hold on them in the same way. Are they happy to go? Do they know in Washington who Bryce Harper is, and do they wear his jersey? Of course they do. Do they know, you know, who Chris Bryant is in Chicago and wear his jersey and cry when the Cubs lose? Yes, they do. But they don't have the same connection to it in the same way that we did. And so I'm not one of these people who believes baseball is dead. All these things are sort of, I don't know, overstated anyway. But is it the same? When we get to it, if the Cubs are in the World Series, am I going to pull my kid out of school to take him to Chicago to watch a game? Yes, I am. But I don't know how common that will be. I think that would have been common some years ago. I wonder about that now and just sort of the direction that is going with the young fans. You know, we can talk about the late night starts again, you know.
Yeah.
There's not going to be the day baseball in Chicago that there is all summer that really keeps that city's young fan base plugged in. They can see the games. You know, they can't see the games in the postseason on school night. So there's all those factors that come into play. I know it's not the same, but I know it's not dead.
Michael Wilbon is our guest right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Douglas Elvin Vaughn with you here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I know you were watching a variety of things last night in St. Louis. We had a very unique combination of seeing the Cardinals on the verge of getting no hit by the arch rival Cubs in the midst of a wild card race, all while our former NFL team was getting ready to kick off their new season against the 49ers as the Los Angeles Rams. Did you get a chance to watch the Rams 49ers last night, Mike?
I did. I watched the Rams 49ers. It was tough to stay interested. God, the Rams are bad.
Are you just discovering that?
But you know what? The last time we tuned in to the Rams outside of St. Louis, I mean, you knew that there was a defense there. You know, there's a running back that most of us, you know, got a chance to see play in college and think was going to be really good. So the Rams, there's a coach. I mean, the Rams have assets. And, I mean, I know they lost Long to New England, and, you know, you just sort of pay a sort of cursory attention to the Rams if you're not in St. Louis these past, 22 years. But, my God, they're awful. And this is coming from a Bears fan. This is coming from a guy who I think my team, or I thought on Sundays, they're going in as maybe the worst team in the league, the Bears are. I know most people don't think that I do. But the Rams, oh, my God, they are just unwatchable. And that must make you guys, most people in St. Louis, I would think, pretty happy.
Oh, it was schadenfreude galore last night, sir.
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, they just, not only are they bad, they're uninteresting. They don't appear very bright.
Keep going.
We've lived with this for 10 or 12 years, and the rest of the country says we're a baseball town because of it.
Yeah, but you also had a Super Bowl. I mean, you had two trips to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you're going back 13 years now.
Okay, well, 13, come on. You talk to a Cub fan, 108. Don't tell me 13 years is a drought. Don't become like Philadelphians now. You know, Philadelphia is such jerks. They'll tell you they've never won anything. You go, what about, like, you know, 1990? Oh, yeah, we forgot about that. No, the Rams have been great in my mature adult lifetime. And even when they weren't great, they've been interesting. They put together a defense. You think they're going to be on the move. They chat, you know, they just beat the Seahawks a couple of years ago in Seattle when the Seahawks were really rolling. That defense was getting going. You thought, okay, the Rams could be on the way back. They're not on the way anywhere looking at what I saw last night.
The thing that I found fascinating, and I would watch you and Tony on, pardon the interruption, Mike, go back and forth during the relocation discussions with Carson, Inglewood, Raiders, Chargers, and Rams. And in fairness, and it doesn't matter, everybody has their opinion, and you have to respect the opinion even if you disagree with it, especially coming from St. Louis, is it became, I felt like a false narrative that St. Louis is a baseball town and they'll be fine because they have the Cardinals. That was the position of your co-host and friend Tony Kornheiser. And in St. Louis, it just really was irritating to take that because we know that it's not true, but we understand that if you're just kind of casually observing 16 games around the league on any weekend and you see empty seats in the stands, yet 50,000 fans at Busch Stadium, that you go, well, they don't really care about the Rams. But there are so many circumstances that led to what fans around the country would see over the last few years. A, the product being horrible, but B, Stan Kroenke not communicating with the fan base and the organization doing multiple things to alienate the fan base that makes us feel like it was all part of a plan to get out of here. And that's the thing that's irritating in the St. Louis region.
And I know I would not argue with one word you said, except the part where you seem to suggest that St. Louis is not a baseball town. I am not a casual observer of St. Louis. You can't be and a Cub fan and a person who's come to St. Louis and come to games. St. Louis is the baseball town, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, have been jealous of that in my lifetime. But I understand why people in St. Louis would have this emotional upheaval to an extent. I mean, it's not Green Bay. It's not New Orleans when it comes to pro football. I mean, I was there for the last Cardinals football game and the first Rams football game. It is not a football town. All the things you said about Kroenke still hold, and all the miscommunication, all the upheaval. Yes, all that's true. But the Rams, when I was covering pro football, lived in Los Angeles. So, you know, there's a certain poetry there. And I guess many of us nationally are not bleeding for St. Louis because we know that St. Louis got a team the same way from Los Angeles. So it doesn't hold the emotional sway for those of us outside the town, no. But you guys are a baseball town. You always, you will be. And I say that not as a knock on St. Louis, but in admiration.
Well, I understand. I suppose my line on the baseball town thought process nationally is that, well, therefore, it can't also support the Rams. It can't also support the Blues, and that's where I would disagree with that. In other words, they can't support these franchises because it is a baseball town, and I realize you're positioning it as a compliment, and I would agree. Yeah. With that process. And listen, St. Louis has its struggles, and this is coming from a lifelong St. Louis, and just like you speak passionately about Chicago, and it would be disingenuous to not acknowledge those while having a discussion on it. I think what irritates St. Louisans is that we feel like the process was predetermined and or dirty, and that hasn't gotten attention.
I understand that. And I don't know about, even if I don't know about predetermined, I would always say, and this conversation started with my dear departed friend, our friend Brian Burwell. And I would say, Brian, they're not staying in St. Louis. Because you'd hear things if you're covering the rest of the league and around the league, and just I didn't ever believe they were staying in St. Louis. And that is not to suggest that I knew it was predetermined or have any evidence to that effect. But I never thought the team was going to stay in St. Louis after that, after the conversations got serious about Southern California again. But nonetheless, it's always tough when a team leaves a community, even if they leave the community that they left somewhere else for. But I, watching the Rams last night, I was like, my God, I don't ever want to watch them again this season unless they make a serious turn upward. I don't want to see them.
You know, even in his relocation application, Stan Kroenke said he assembled the parcel of land in Inglewood, not only with the approval of the NFL, but with the encouragement of the NFL. And this is obviously years ago. So to me, it was predetermined. And and watching the process, I don't think you could really come to any other conclusion.
No, I again, I wouldn't. Like I said, I didn't have what I call evidence, hard evidence, but I wouldn't come to any other conclusion than didn't years ago.
You brought up Brian Burwell, and I know you were very close with Brian. And all of us here, you know, he worked at our station. Of course, we got to know him over his time in St. Louis. And even if you disagreed with what he wrote, if you knew him, you couldn't possibly think anything. But he was a first-class guy and just a great human being. How did you get to know Brian, Mike?
We simply lived together. When he was writing for the Washington Star and me for the Washington Post, we were on the road together, allegedly competitors, and becoming the closest of friends all the time. So we're talking 36 years ago, when I was a summer intern and Brian was already here in Washington, maybe a Cub reporter of 1 or 2 years. So we went back all that way, became neighbors at one point in Fairfax, Virginia, and he and Dawn and Victoria are among my best friends. So particularly times like this, God, a Cubs-Cardinals situation like this, I would have been blowing his phone up. And I thought about that last night several times, believe me.
He was the one that went to Albert Pujols, bless his heart, when the Cardinals were playing the Mets, and Pujols was big-timing all the media and actually told Pujols that what he was doing was wrong and really kind of got him turned around. I thought that was kind of a courageous thing to do for any media person to do to a superstar.
Well, yeah, Brian wasn't particularly going to ever stand on ceremony. You guys knew him, so that was just part of his personality. I don't think he thought of it as being a tough guy or being courageous, but it was just who he was. He didn't care. He'd walk up to whomever it was and have these kind of conversations, and that was one of the many, you know, things about him that was just completely appealing.
Mike Wilbon, pardon the interruption, and, of course, writer now for ESPN Chicago, longtime friend of Brian Burwell and a Cubs fan. Perhaps we would love it if we got a chance to see the Cubs here in a few weeks, considering where the Cardinals are coming from. I understand where you're coming from. You don't necessarily share that.
I don't want to see you guys. I can tell you that right now. I don't want to have any part of that. I don't want any part of that rematch. I'll take a Mets rematch where the Cubs are the team saying, we're not having that again.
Yeah.
I don't want to see any part of the Cardinals.
Mike Wilbon with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. A pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
All right. Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
There he is. Michael Wilbon with us on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The all-new 590 The Fan, getting his perspective on the Rams and his perspective on the Cardinals, and specifically the Cardinals and Cubs. And I knew that he and Burwell were very close. I didn't know that they lived together. How about that?
He's very worried about a Cardinal-Cub playoff series.
Yeah, that's the Cubs fan, and I get that. Yeah, he said, bring on the Mets.
Yeah, I guess. I don't see how the Cubs would worry about anybody right now with what they've got going.
But, I mean, we've seen it. You know, we had La Russa sit down with us. You were out of town a few weeks ago. We were at the Pujols golf tournament at Meadowbrook. And, one of the teams that I always bring up that just they're forgotten, and they just didn't play well. And then all of the greatness that was their regular seasons, kind of like, oh, yeah, that team was really good, was the 09 Cardinals. That was a great team. That was a world championship caliber team because you had two of the top three Cy Young finishers in your rotation and healthy. I think it's the only time that Carpenter and Wainwright were healthy going into October together.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you still had Albert Pujols in the middle of that lineup. And that team, you know, they were on the verge of winning game two, and unfortunately Matt Holliday dropped that ball. And then they got beat at home in game three, and then that was it. And so it can happen. I'm sure the 2011 Phillies, the guys who weren't a part of the 08 World Championship team or even the 09 team that lost to the Yankees in the World Series, go, my God, how the hell did we not win the World Series with the combination of Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, and Roy Oswalt? You know, but it can happen, and especially when you've experienced the heartbreak, as Michael Wilbon talked about, that 03 NLCS against the Marlins with Bartman, as it's more well-known for than anything, you expect the worst. I would say the only thing that we can relate to, I guess there's two things here. If you're a Missouri fan, you feel like something horrible is going to happen, but not to the extent of a Cubs fan. If you're a Blues fan, you feel like something horrible is going to happen, but not to the extent of a Cubs fan.
Yeah, I just think, you know, the goal is to win the division and go from there, and so you clinch, and it's a good thing. But baseball players are such creatures of habit, and if you're playing so well at the highest level in baseball like the Cubs, you don't want anything to change. And what could change? Games don't mean anything going forward. that takes you out of your routine.
And that's what happened to the 09 Cardinals. Remember, I would give you guys trouble about flipping the switch. Mm-hmm. But they started, it's easy to remember because it's, you know, the most famous date or one of in American history. On September 11th of 2009, they just went into a tailspin, but they had already essentially clinched the division. And when it starts to count, they'll flip the switch. And the switch was never flipped, even though, again, they were an out away from winning game two. Unfortunately, they couldn't turn it around. And I don't know. We'll see how they come in. You look at the Cubs roster. You look at how Lester's pitching. Of course, you already have Jake Arrieta. You saw what Hendricks was doing last night. Hamill has been really good at times. He's also been bad recently. And you have Aroldis Chapman back there, plus that lineup. You don't know how they could slip up. But, God, if the Cardinals could go up there, you know, they'd have to get past, I guess at this point, it's clear it's either going to be Bumgarner, Cueto, or Syndergaard. And get up there and win game one in Chicago, they would immediately go, oh, God, not again. Yeah. Mm. All it would take would be a couple of home runs the first day. Going into 06 against the Padres, I mean, it's kind of like, ugh. You know, they had such great teams in 04 and 05. This team doesn't have a chance in hell. It's not like the San Diego Padres or some buzzsaw. They had been worked over in the playoffs by the Cardinals in 96 and 05. And the Cardinals, I think, took the lead early on in that game, and they never looked back, and they won that series in four. And then that said, Pedro Martinez hurt, and they all of a sudden are starting Oliver Perez in game seven, and the Cardinals get through, and the Tigers can't throw to first base or third base on a bunt, and all of a sudden you're the world champion. So absurd things can happen. There's no question from a mathematical standpoint. I would put the Cubs at like an 85% favorite, but there is that 15%, but as Cubs fans, they are predetermined to think that it's going to be some kind of heartbreaking loss. The Mets thing was probably easy for them because it was a sweep. But they didn't really expect, to beat the Cardinals last year. Maybe they did. I don't know. I didn't expect the Cardinals to beat the Cubs last year. But they might have felt like they were playing with house money. It's a different feeling this year. The roles would be reversed. The Cardinals would be the ones on house money.
And if they could, the Cardinals could get there and pick up a win. The thing that the Cubs haven't been through this year is they haven't been pushed at all, really. I kept hoping the Cardinals would go on a run, at least tighten things up so you could see how the Cubs respond to that. But otherwise, since they didn't do it, it's been a cakewalk for the Cubs.
When was the last time the Cardinals were 17 games out of first place?
The 86 season.
How far
honestly,
back do you have to go?
I don't know. They finished in the last 90, and I don't know how far the Pirates won that division. Why? But the 86 pennant race where the Mets just won by, I think the Cardinals were 27 out. Yeah, and yet the Cardinals are a playoff contender. Yeah, and a win tonight and a loss by the Mets, and the Cardinals are actually in the playoffs.
Crazy.
I wonder if the Cubs really carry that history on their shoulders when they go in the playoffs. If any of those guys really care or are affected by the fact that they haven't won it since 1908.
I would think the answer is no for the players, realistically.
I would too.
Really,
because when you step in the box, you're worried about the pitcher, right, what he might throw you. The last
fans,
thing you're thinking about is 1908.
And maybe some people in the front office would be, but you know, what does that matter to what's going on?
And I don't know if it matters game to game, but if you know a team like the Cubs had a huge lead and then was collapsing down the stretch, we're not seeing that clearly. But I think the fans and the media have been through that and felt that before, so they turn up the pressure, and then in turn, maybe that can get to a team. But in a playoff series, you're not thinking, oh, the ghosts of the past. You're thinking, who's starting for the other side?
And the thing is, it's not like, in 2011, I felt like it was the Phillies and everybody else, and I'd include that on the American League side. This year, there are some really good teams. I mean, the Washington Nationals, if it weren't for what the Cubs are doing, would be getting a hell of a lot of attention. I mean, they got some guys raking in addition to the pitching that they have. The Dodgers, I don't know what Kershaw is going to be like as the season plays out. He didn't look great in Miami on Friday night, but he wasn't terrible. He just wasn't as dominating as you expect him to be. And the Dodgers, to their credit, were able to actually surge while he was out for a couple of months. So what will that team be? That's a team where you would go into the postseason and say, oh, their record doesn't match up with the Cubs or the Nationals, but that isn't who is going to be on the field in the first week of October, most likely, assuming that Kershaw is healthy. So they might come in underrated. That's a legitimately really good team. I don't know if any of these wild card teams I would consider even in the class, you know, of the Cubs, Nationals, and Dodgers. I mean, the Giants have been a mess for a while. The Mets have experienced a resurgence with some of the offense getting healthy, but their pitching certainly isn't. And then the Cardinals have been just kind of flopping around, eight
games above 500 for a while now.
The thing that scares me about the Cubs that's different than last year, you know, this year the Cardinals, they're the strongest in the 7th, 8th, and 9th offensively. We'll get past the starter. We'll get to the bullpen. Yeah. Well, now you got Chapman sitting out there. He threw 104, according to the radar gun in the stadium last night.
Better score your runs before he gets there. The Nationals, you talk about them, they've lost Strasburg and haven't missed a beat. But that might catch up with them in a short playoff series.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the two is not going to be going any further than the second week of October, because that means either Kershaw or Scherzer is going home. They're playing each other. It's very rarely on, September 14th, 13th, can you sit there and go, okay, well, we know who the 1, 2, and 3 seeds are, but you can. It's a really unique spot, unless the Giants somehow completely take off and the Dodgers completely collapse. That four-game lead looks like that's going to be, relatively speaking, insurmountable for San Francisco, just based on the way the Giants have played, minus this weekend where they got three in a row. They have been a disaster since the All-Star break. Doug, you were saying, man, I really hope we get to 4,000 members on the fan page. Well, I think we're about to do it.
Are you?
Someone gets to spend a month with you. Straight.
In your chambers.
That's right. Me chambers.
In me chambers.
Andrew Stellhorn, you are member 3,990.
Oh.
Vince Flagey, you are 3,991.
Yeah.
Juan Mikisuch.
He should have won it.
He's 3,992.
Sure.
Justin Boudreau.
Oh,
Boudreau. You're 3,993.
Yeah.
Nick Brown, you're 3,994.
Browner.
Blake Fowler, you're 3,995. Fowlsy. Dallas Standifer. You're 3,996.
Stanzi.
Justin Hennig, you're 3,997.
Hensy.
Alex Newell, you are 3,998.
Newellsy.
Craig Usher, you are 3,999.
You man.
And Doug, it's Tommy Bornfleth who gets to spend a month with me.
Bornfleth?
Tommy.
What kind of name is that?
I just added
Bornfleth.
Congratulations.
Yep, can you spell the last name?
Bornfleth.
ETA. Bornfleth.
4,000 members of the fan page. 4,000 members of the fan. They're going wild. They're going wild.
Are they?
They're going wild.
Just Bornfleth would, because he gets to spend 30 days time in meat chambers.
That's right.
All right. You have to feed him and everything, or he just gets to sleep with you?
You'll feed them grapes.
I'll bottom, but I don't really want to share food. I have those metabolic meals.
Sometimes I'm sorry I asked certain questions. I really didn't think you'd take it and run with it.
It's my responsibility. And Buck Swope was the first one to like my post saying 4,000 members.
Yeah.
Hashtag trip.
Super lemming.
You got to admit, Swope puts on a nice show.
I'm going to put Swope on the Thorough Lemmings list. If you
He's a co-host now. He's a brother of ours.
Yeah. Buck Swope has just been added to the Thorough Lemmings list.
Eric Broom, I'm sorry, you're 4,001. You can't beat Tommy Bornfleth.
I'm trying to look this guy up on the internet to see what we're dealing with here.
And with what, Bornfleth?
Yeah. I mean, this guy just got quite an honor.
This Bornfleth, he's a handful. He's got impeccable timing. He knew he was going to get something if he waited, and pounced.
I really enjoyed that interview with Michael Wilbon.
Nice
get, Seamaster. Man, that's Seamaster. The three-headed plow Iggy monster we have here as our producers.
Could be one of these guys. This is what came up when I put his name.
I could see that. That looks like a list of sex offenders in the area.
It's just mugshots.
Yeah. You ever get an alert on your phone that there's a sex offender in your area?
Clip that off.
I got one of those a couple days ago.
Mostly I get amber alerts or
weather
updates.
That's what it was. It came as like an amber alert, sex offender in your area. I said, what?
Doug, you ever watch that Steve Harvey's Family Feud?
Sometimes, occasionally.
I really do. If it's 6:55 and I happen to be in front of my television and I'm not on the phone, which is one out of 10 days.
You're watching the pregame show on Fox Sports Midwest.
And the pregame show's at a commercial break.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm.
I go over to watch that Fast Money with Steve Harvey. Here is an unfortunate incident in which a gentleman, I guess, reveals his fetish by accident on Steve Harvey's Family Feud.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
Name something some people like to have on when they're making love.
Well, you know, props. Like handcuffs. Props. you know.
That's what you're talking about, Tripp?
That is what I'm talking about,
yeah,
Steve.
That's probably your answer.
That's always my answer. I like to feel vulnerable.
He said, that is always my answer. I like to feel vulnerable. After I've been working with these kids all day, just come on home and cuff me. Lock me up, click, click.
Yeah.
I will say that Steve Harvey's very good at picking up the ball and running with it.
He is.
He is good.
He is outstanding on that. I guess we have more Steve Harvey family. What is this?
It's like the nastiest show on TV.
Double entendre.
Every question is like that. Everyone.
What do we have here, Plowhawk?
This one is not a double entendre sexual. He just a doppelganger. I'm not for sure if you're familiar with that. Somebody that looks exactly like you.
Right.
That
isn't
related. Okay. He found his on Family Feud, and would you like to take a listen?
Sure. Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Would you like to take a listen?
Every single day of my life, people come up to me and call me Steve Harvey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't even have your money. I mean, I think I should get compensated or something. I mean, don't you think? I mean, I haven't signed your Well, no, maybe not. No, don't go there. Don't go there.
Well, I was... But I'll tell you something, Pastor. It ain't a bad deal, man. If I had somebody, man, you look like me. Damn. I'm actually looking at him going, actually, you know, I really hate to say this. I hate to say this, but I'm an honest guy. You actually a little better looking than I am. Yeah. It's kind of hurting me a little bit.
Doug, that's Steve Harvey's.
Would have been, again, if we would have seen it, it might have added. Did he look like him?
And it wasn't a question. That's why it wasn't naughty.
Pretty much identical, too, which obviously the show did that on purpose. It wasn't a coincidence that was a Steve Harvey lookalike on there. But still, nonetheless, it was funny.
Do you have a doppelganger, Plowsy?
What do you have?
My celebrity doppelganger, I think, is Jesse Eisenberg, is what I've been told.
Oh, but from Social Network.
Yeah. But I don't know a regular one. So.
Huh. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, not exact, but see, Doug? Similar?
Yeah, pretty close. Iggy, you have a doppelganger?
Back in the day when I was not old, Kevin Bacon, I was told, when I had spiky hair. And...
All right. I got John Lithgow, of course.
I don't see it.
Milt May. Remember the old catcher, Milt May? He was really my doppelganger. My own mother saw Milt May's picture in the newspaper once and said, "Hey, look, you made the newspaper." My mother said that to me once.
Is that why you're kind of emotionally unstable?
Yeah, I had something to do with it, yeah. It's not a good thing to have someone else out there looking exactly like that. You don't know what they might do. You could be charged with a bank robbery or something. Now, thankfully, Milt May was never one to do that kind of thing. But what if it was somebody who looked exactly like you, committed some sort of crime? And then you're identified as the person who did it. And they run a video of it. Look, there you are. That could be a dangerous thing.
But Lithgow is probably having that concern with you out here, and you haven't done anything.
I have not done a darn thing.
So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
No.
You're a law-abiding citizen.
I'm just saying that could be a problem for
somebody. Well, it's not just they don't just look at the video and say, you did it, you're guilty of murder. There's a trial and you can bring in
Well, I understand that. But
evidence.
If they brought in video and there's someone committing a crime that looks exactly like you that might convict you.
You know what they would call to testify? They would say, we call lady journalism to the stand. She would have to go up there and say, Doug was with me.
Yeah. Well, I would hope that I'd have an ironclad alibi.
I'd probably make up a story to get you convicted.
You probably would.
I saw him. He was carrying a butcher's knife that... he got from Bertarelli.
I didn't have a butcher's knife.
He got it sharpened, chop, chop, cheeky.
Didn't have a sickle or a scythe.
Oh, I think you're fine, Doug. You're never going to end up in the slammer.
No, I don't think so.
I think you'd have a good time in there.
Why?
New people to meet. New experiences.
I don't need to meet the people in there.
New experiences.
You ever been in a prison?
It was one time in my life, overnight. I was found not guilty. There was a little fracas.
Oh, you actually served time in the prison.
You did time.
Well, actually.
A night in a jail cell.
Actually, there was a little fracas that I wasn't involved with, but got the cuff slapped on me anyway. And they put me in a holding cell, right, like in the hallway with the other guys. And one of the cops knew I was on TV and was chatting me up. I said, can I go into one of the cells so I can at least say that I've been in a real cell? He He says, just a bunch of passed out drunks. So I went, he did. He took me back there and I started screaming, you can't hold me, you screws. And, and they got a kick out of it. And then I went in front of the judge and he's not guilty because I hadn't done anything.
Well, why were you put in handcuffs if you were completely innocent?
Well, because there was a bunch of people involved and he must have thought, maybe I had a doppelganger, but I hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
Doug, we have email of the day coming up here. We have three tickets to the Cardinals and Cubs this evening to give away. Frederick Roofing is in its fourth generation with 87 years in the business. Install and repair all types of roofs, residential and commercial, full service on repairs, gutters and downspouts, Duroflow gutter cover system, which we can fully recommend. They have removed the need to clean our gutters regularly. That has been so helpful for us. God, that was something that we had to have done every few months. Frederick Roofing shot and fixed that for us. Given the Torch Award by the Better Business Bureau in 2015 for great business practice, customer service, and ethics for a hole in your roof. For a whole new roof.
Frederick Roofing.
Frederick Roofing, 314-645-2000.
Boy, that's an effective ad campaign when the whole town can sing your little jingle.
You have more and more people saying, we don't sharpen knives, we sharpen lives.
Lives. No, this Frederick Roofing thing, that's been a staple of this community for years and years. For a whole new roof.
Boy, you guys did a lot with that.
I feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Truman's in Soulard at 1818 Sydney Street, your college and NFL football hangout. Saturdays are for the boys, they say. I agree with that. Ever since puberty, it's kind of been my... Thank you, Plowhawk. During college football season on Saturdays, enjoy the $21 special, a large one-topping pizza in a domestic bucket, all for just $21. How do you do?
I'm fine, thanks.
Sal in on the covered patio and watch the games on their two huge outdoor TVs, or pop in any day of the week and take advantage of their amazing lunch specials for only $7.95. Like and follow them on Facebook at Truman Sports Bar Soulard. Truman's and Soulard, your neighborhood bar. Your neighborhood bar. You can see Danny Packer there.
That's where he hangs out?
Danny Packer.
Okay. He's a regular there?
What a great job he did with Lou Fest. Now, we had a number of people involved. Don't get me wrong. But this Dan Packer, he's got a great attitude. Everybody at the company likes him. Doug, buy stock in Danny Packer.
Really? Well,
and he gets the job done, most importantly.
And he pronounces...
You're nodding. You're nodding, Plowhawk. You're buying stock in Dan
Packer. Great American. Find him to be amazing. We did the Hot Shots event in O'Fallon. Kind of worked with him together. He has a fantastic work ethic. Mm-hmm. And... I obviously love Truman's as well, so.
And you're good fantastic, people. Too. I
Thank
just want
buddy.
That on the record.
And he pronounces his name Danny Packer.
That's correct.
All right. Yep. Look, it's T.J. Weber is out there.
T.J. Weber and Weezer are filling in for Frank on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll have the Lion's Choice, famous roast beef handoff, to Weezer. And it's like a first pitch reunion. Plowhawk, is that emotional for you?
It is, because we had so much fun, and we did no show prep, too, which makes it even more fun to do a show when you don't really know what's going to be happening. TJ,
can't
obviously
imagine what
the,
that would be like.
Well, no. TJ is the professional, and then me and Weezer were kind of, you know, he was babysitting us. So I'm glad to see him.
You need babysitting stuff.
Of all the bad things you could take from this show, like, yeah, it's great. We do no show prep. Well, that's not necessarily a good thing.
No, that's just the lazy thing is all.
What?
It'd be different if we didn't start so early in the morning. I think if you started a show like noon or later, you might actually have time to wake up and think about what you're going to do and say, we haven't got that luxury. Oh, gosh, no.
Seems like you're alibying for us.
Alibi,
making excuses.
Yeah, I just wake up. Okay, there yet. All right, let's go.
Football, we're talking Rams.
Doug, you know what it's time for? Email of the day.
Oh, Lord.
Giving away three Cardinal tickets for tonight. Cardinals and Cubs. You get a mini bobblehead of Jim Edmonds. You can win an upgrade to VIP Bash. It is the Bud Bash. Three Bud Bash Cardinal tickets. It includes an autograph session at that VIP Bash. It's tonight, Cardinals and Cubs. Email of the day. Fellas, I know a lot about pony shows, and they're great. And with the possible exception of the Buggy Whip in Shrewsbury, no St. Louis establishment throws a pony like Little William Giannino's. So it gave me pause yesterday when the Plow Cubs said that Saturday night at Billy G's was a pony, but by the time Tim had arrived at midnight, it had vanished without a trace. What could have possibly been so compelling at midnight on Saturday that it stopped a pony dead in its tracks? Then it hit me like a bolt of lightning hits Dan Marshall. Swopes picks. Toodles, Doug. The Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel. Right. You think that's what it was? Everybody went
Probably.
Home to gather around the transistor radio and
no.
listen to Swopes picks?
The more I think about it, no. Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel.
A lot of the experts are saying that that show is the next big thing.
I hear tell. That's what I hear tell.
People are going to cut short their Saturday night in a bar to go gather around a transistor radio and listen to an AM station with a guy just playing clips from another show.
Another show that isn't well listened.
Yeah.
How weird would that be if that show got bigger than our show and it's a show based on our show? Wow, that's hard to even wrap your head around.
Take some nice editing.
That's kind of what happened to Facts of Life, though, if you think about it. Because Mrs. Garrett was on Different Strokes, and then she went and she took care of the girl. Facts of Life.
You take the good, you take the bad, you mix it up, and then you have
Okay. Would it really be any different if Swope did 7 to 10 playing our clips, and then we did a show playing Swope's clips?
Wow. Hmm.
Would it be any different?
Doug, this is like that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. Is it called In Something?
Inception.
And thank you.
Thank you, Plowsy.
Guys, Plops here with all the talk about potential undercard matches at the Ryan Kelly Timberfake 2.0 fight. I thought I'd go ahead and make a few suggestions. First, if John Vaughn ends up in the ring, Doug needs to be there dressed as Adrian and Rocky with his women's glasses and a sock hat.
The ones that made me look like Jackie O.
That's right.
Yeah.
Larry can play the part of Paulie. We'll get him a cigar, and the rest ought to just take care of itself based on his build and lovable yet alcoholic life choices. Second, instead of ring girls, I'd like to see ring dads. At the end of each round, a different Vianney father parades himself around the squared circle in jean shorts, a dry-fit golf shirt, and white New Balance cross-trainer shoes. Third, most importantly, I will be fighting on this card. I'm putting out a challenge right here, right now. I'm issuing a former challenge to Miss Butler, and it will be Chicago street fight rules. That means, fellas, falls can count anywhere, and we brawl in our street clothes. Butler, you have 24 hours to respond, and the rest of you can keep your opinions to your damn self. Thanks. That's from Misty Plops.
Misty Plops. Plops. Assistant Program Director.
Hey, guys. I'll recap the show today. So, Tim, you can just send me the $3 check you made out to Buck Swope for doing the exact same thing. With Kevin Harlan on the call, we witnessed perhaps the greatest rushing performance in Los Angeles since Eric Dickerson ran amok and the Rams played two. Tucker called in, probably using a cell phone with St. Charles area code, so we could thank him for using his long-distance minutes for today's show. That move must have been taxing on his family. And hearing a Mizzou lawyer use the word man or dude every other word must make Doug feel great spending thousands of dollars for his boys to get some quality education. Bulldog Drummond was a callback. I always preferred Mason Perry, but I actually preferred Leslie Easterbrook. Don't act like you don't know me, and if you don't know, now you know. Deep throat to me. Doug, that's from deep throat to me?
Deep throat to me. He's new.
Cut that off. Stop. Drop. Roll. That is what you are taught to do in middle school when you are on fire, so you better get ready. I have the hot sports takes this city needs to hear. Ha. The Rams played last night, or did they? Ha. Just kidding. That Jared Goff was really worth all those NFL draft picks the way he threw in warm-ups. Was quite impressive. He has great zip. Ha, just kidding. He's just a kid, and I'm sure he'll figure it out. Best of luck.
That's nice.
The Cardinals almost had a no-hitter thrown against them by the Chicago team we all hate. Hey, Matheny, put out the right lineup, pal. One that can produce hits. Ha, just kidding. You're trying your best. That's all we can ask. I hope there is a burn clinic nearby. Those takes were scorching like the sun in the desert. Ha, JK. Thank you for your time. That's Kevin Shipp, the 32-year-old intern for We Are Live.
Kevin Shipp, 32-year-old intern from We Are Live.
Yeah, how about that? Cucky is now interning on We Are Live.
Why?
He really wants to get into the business, Doug. Don't talk to him. He wants in.
Well, you can get in like everybody else. You get off your checkbook and you write a nice little check and you get your time. How hard is that?
What does he do for a real living?
I honestly don't know. Actually, I think I do know. He does construction. He is a great guy. He's so passionate about it. And I don't know if you anybody listen to the Howard Stern Show, Nurse, Nancy, Chase.
I can't find it anymore.
Oh, really? Do you have Sirius XM?
No.
You got to in that whip.
No.
Really? In that whip?
No. I haven't paid for it. No.
Sal the stockbroker. He was a listener.
who became a producer on The Stern Show.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cucky, a.k.a. Kevin Shipp, a.k.a. 32-year-old intern now for We Are Live. So they have a whole crew on there. They're getting close to our staff.
I think you'd be better off in the construction industry.
Six people on this show. They now have five.
What can he build? Can he build something for us? Could he finish my basement?
I would think so.
Well, that's a nice gesture.
It sounds like you're inviting him over to the dungeon.
Well, I'd like him to fix up the basement.
Yo, bros, I was at that Jets Pizza on Olive the other day, and these two broads went to the soda fountain at the same time. I swear, Vincent Van Bro, like, really, like, it was about to go down. The redhead went for the pib extra, and at that exact same time, the blonde reached across her to get at the ice. Dude, their hands touched, and it must have been cold over there because their thermometers were poking out their racquetball shirts. Bromoni Jones, I swear to you, they looked into each other's eyes and there was a longing there. I don't even know what happened after that, but you know it was just crazy. Pete Bros, I just moved to St. Louis and this didn't happen like this where I come from. Yeah, I just moved across the river from Jeff Bro like 8 years ago, not so long. Hey, Alex Brovechkins, I gotta go. There are two chicks walking in a steak and shake at the same time, and I think they might be fixing a B-A-N-G. Adi Bros, do good, avoid evil. Doug, that's the Barnhart Brawler.
Barnhart Brawler. Brawler.
Hey guys, I've gotten a hold of the transcript of a special video they were going to play for the first LA Rams home game. Please enjoy. Hey Ram fans, we've been gone for more than 20 years, so we just wanted to remind everyone how to cheer for your LA Rams. That sounds like a revision of the Rams.
Right,
rules.
They brought the
five
Rams
years
back.
Old. The Rams rules are now 5 years old.
Yeah, well, it's nice to bring them back.
When the Rams are on offense, no, seriously, you're going to need to the fans around you as they will likely be for the other team and much louder than you. And God help us, this offense does not need any distractions. If the Rams have any offensive play more than 9 yards, you stand up and cheer. It will likely be the longest offensive play of the game, or maybe even the season. If a Rams player gets a sack, be sure not to cheer too loud, as we don't want them to get excited and get a taunting penalty. There were a couple of those going on last night, weren't there?
They had a lot to taunt about.
Yes, they did. When the Rams get a first down, stand up and look for the flag, as there is going to be a very good chance it's coming back and you don't want to cheer for nothing. And fans, remember, even if we are losing, be sure to stick around for the end of the game, as there will likely be a fight, or if you're lucky, an all-out brawl. Follow these rules to cheer on your LA Rams. Thanks, Corey G.
Corey G.
Hey guys, I heard Ryan Kelly was looking for ring girls. I was hoping to throw my name into the hat. I would tuck away my boy part underneath my cutter, so I would have that.
That's vile.
There's a word I can't say. Doug seems to like so much. I have been growing some shrubs down there so no one would ever know I was a boy except for the turtle head poking out the back.
No.
Let me know.
No.
Thanks, Doug. That's Timmy the Tickler.
Timmy the Tickler.
That's what we have for the email of the day. What you got? We had a lot of good ones.
I didn't have the time.
I thought two stood out. Brawler and Kevin Shipp. I'm going Kevin Shipp because it made me laugh harder, and I got to be true to that.
I'll go Kevin Shipp as well. 32-year-old intern.
Construction we are alive.
Yep.
Congratulations to Kevin Shipp. You have won 3 Bud Bash tickets for tonight's game against the Cubs. You also get a mini bobblehead, Jim Edmonds.
You can win an upgrade to VIP Bash, which includes the autograph session. Congratulations to Kevin Shipp.
Doesn't he have to work?
I don't know how he'll handle that.
You'll probably go sell him, get some tools.
Cucky
could
wind up being
trade.
Like the guy who like winds up making millions of dollars in this business. Dude's super talented. He really is. He's like just.
But I mean, for tonight,
talented.
He could probably sell these tickets and get a power drill or something.
Talking about in general,
maybe a circular saw.
I respect what he's doing. He wants to do it, and God bless him for taking a shot. Despite your discouragement,
you could probably pick up a level.
Doug, the Wheelhouse is in downtown St. Louis, and it is the pony. Locally owned and operated, Wheelhouse is the local college football headquarters for the SEC, Big Ten, and Big 12. Wheelhouse is the NFL headquarters in St. Louis. Contact them and book your watch party. Email parties@wheelhousestl.com. Audio Express, I got to let the listeners know about Audio Express because they're celebrating all kinds of things at Audio Express. September is always a special month at Audio Express, but this year it's even more special. That's because not only is it their 42nd birthday, it's also the grand opening of their newest location in Phoenix, Arizona. All Audio Express locations are celebrating with unbelievable discounts for you. Back up safely and save $100 with this rear backup camera and screen system now, just $119 complete. Receive a free backup camera with the purchase of any in-dash multimedia head unit starting as low as $199. Replace your tired old system with the latest from Kenwood. This Kenwood system is loaded with features and matched with two pairs of speakers, all for just $199 installed. Come help us celebrate our birthday as well as the grand opening of our newest location and receive the guaranteed lowest prices in, on all the top name car audio and security today. It's only at Audio Express. Audio Express. All right, it's time for the Lion's Choice. Famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano's Hollywood Casino Press Box. Weezer and TJ Weber filling in today from 10 to noon. Time for us to shut it down for the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McKernan, and this has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway BOGMC Studio.